big tomato. It was in the sand. I'm taking a walk in the woods. It's nice outside. Smells of shit. Ligagwing, ligagagagagagway, oh go.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to the Comic Anvil episode, I don't know, because I am your host, the Drunken Power Master, Drunken Evil Power Master of Mountain Big Ruxpin.
And I think it's episode 3 since we came back. I think it is. I could be wrong.
Yeah, could be. Okay, with us today we have our usual two criminals of comics, Kyle and Anthony. Maya.
Hello.
No, wrong controller.
Oh,
okay. I'm fighting with my kid. I'm sorry. What'd you do with the controller? Don't use that one. Little shit. Go pick up the one you just dropped. Okay, so like we're here to talk about comics like we do every time, and somebody else is going to start so I can fight with my child.
Things that's been annoying me just generally. Is it still recording? Yeah?
Yeah, you're good, man. Give her.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, can you just say that? The title you're talking about again, because I missed it.
No, this is just what has been, like Eric just alluded to before, I've been angry about something, and I just feel, now's the time for me just to get it off my chest, and just as a warning, I'm just going to briefly talk about Iron Man 3, it's not going to talk about the plot,
Eric, have you seen that yet?
No, it's okay, I'm going to mute you when he goes off, though.
Right. I always have to give you a warning that I'm done. But, right, here it is.
Okay.
People have been moaning about the plot twist or whatever with the Mandarin, and Ben Kingsley's Mandarin isn't the real one and all that rubbish. And quite frankly, it's reached a whole new world of pathetic little crybabies. I've reviewed the film. I think it's great. When I saw it, I was like, what? But at the same time, it was still funny. People are bitching about their precious Mandarin, saying that they've made him a joke or whatever. But
yeah.
I'll take the example of this Facebook group, comic Facebook group, and Man of Steel is coming out this year. I'm seeing people talking about, oh, what's these great Man of Steel books to read? Superman books, sorry. When Amazing Spider-Man came out, what are these great Spider-Man stories to read and all this? What are these great... People kept mentioning the Lizard. The story Shred, was it? Shed or something?
Oh, yeah.
People were doing that. But people are getting pissed off about the Mandarin. But no, not once have I seen someone go, that was one great Mandarin story. People are getting butthurt for the sake of getting butthurt. And it's seriously pissed me off.
Did you say that was awesome?
Yeah, I'm not as angry about it as Kyle is, but I do kind of agree with him. I think people are getting upset for the wrong reasons because they had expectations of what they were expecting the Mandarin to be, and then the film, and being quite brilliant about it, actually just completely turned that on his head. Because my argument is, right, our superhero films, especially the Marvel ones, they do follow like these pretty generic formulas, don't they, where like, you know, the hero fights the villain and the end, and then Iron Man 3 comes along and then it just has this big twist in it that nobody's seen coming, and it really made a lot of sense to it. Whereas I get how people are like can be upset how it's not the Mandarin from the comics, but at the same time, you know, it's an interpretation of a character, and the Mandarin isn't exactly the easiest villain to adapt into a film, which is why John Favreau never wanted to do it in his two movies, because
yeah, cheesy.
Yeah, it's like a cheesy Asian caricature that could easily go into the lines of being a little bit racist. So, you know.
And as well, what bugs me the most is that Killian is the Mandarin. He says he's the Mandarin. So it's not like they just go, haha, the Mandarin's not in it whatsoever. It's just that he's not dressed up in the same way.
Yeah, I think Killian meant that more as a figuratively sense. So I didn't think he meant that in a literal sense. But
you mean
it's the fact that he says it. He calls himself the Mandarin. He's the one that's been organizing everything. So it's not like they just went, nah, we're just going to mess about with you here completely. They mess about with us a little bit, which I think was cool the way they did it, but it's just the whole people complaining about something, about a character that they just want to complain about, but they don't really have any sense of, like, emotional ties to in real life. It's just that people, some, there are people that associate the Mandarin with Iron Man, and just because they associate him with that, they have some sort of stupid expectations.
Probably so, from the 90s cartoons that the Mandarin was in a lot, when he was like green, this green man. Guy. Yeah.
Well, hey man, even in...
Because that aged well.
Even in the newer cartoon, the Invincible Iron Man, the one that's CGI or whatever, where Tony's a kid.
Yeah.
Even the Mandarin guy is a character. He's a kid. But it's the same thing. It's for 10 rings of power and yada yada. I guess they make him look more like a samurai or so something, so he doesn't look so cheesy, but... Yeah. I could see how people would, I don't know what the twist is or anything like that, but like you said, people always get butthurt because it's not exactly like the comic book. Well, Nick Fury wasn't exactly like the comic book. How many of those fuckers are reading Ultimate Comics when he showed up, right? Not many, I'm guessing.
If you go into that, that's another thing that annoys me. I don't have to go into another rant about Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I heard about that.
No, because...
Fantastic Four, yeah.
Did you see what I put on that Facebook group yesterday? What was going on yesterday, though? That's what kind of bugged me. Because people, in case you didn't know, Fantastic Four, there's a rumor that some guy is going to be playing Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four reboot. And the big problem is it's because he's black and Johnny Storm is traditionally white. People are crying about it. I don't care, regardless. It doesn't bother me whether he's white or black. But the best argument that I've seen as well for why it doesn't even matter is that he is a default character. That his race is not defined. His character is not defined in any way by his race. People try and say, what if the Black Panther was white? It's not the same thing. The Black Panther is defined by his race. Luke Cage, defined by his race. Right, I've had stories that define him by his race. So you make a white Nick Fury, white Luke Cage, and there's something wrong. You might as well not bother.
Yeah, I hear
yeah.
you.
But yeah, it's true.
You got to think about the time that these characters were created as well, right?
Exactly. But the main thing is as well that it's just brought back up the whole thing that happened with Donald Glover when he was that whole like Donald for Spider-Man campaign.
Yeah.
Which, if you take overly seriously, you're an idiot. But the problem with it is the same thing that he's said in the past, is that people got offended for no real reason, and then would, in their defense, they'd accidentally come off as, could be racist. Because I'm not accusing anyone of being racist about it, but it's when you're complaining about it and get so vehemently angry about a character who, like I said just before, isn't defined by his race. He could be black. It makes no difference. Is there anything that he does that is obligatory, quote-unquote, white?
No, no.
It's not like he's walking around in a white hood and go, oh, I hate black people. He's not racist or anything. He's not being defined by the Ku Klux Klan to not make Johnny Storm who he is.
That's a Dave Chappelle skit. I seen a thing on Facebook for a certain creator. He had posted about this exact same topic, and somebody had pointed out, well, that's fine, they can make Johnny Storm another race as long as his sister is another race as well. And the creator came back with, what does it matter, she wasn't white in the first Fantastic Four movie. And I was like, Jessica Alba is Greek, right? I never even thought about it before.
She's black, though, let's be fair.
I know
it's a bit of a because you can very easily say, come up with some rubbish. Because she's slightly she's darker skinned. Oh, she's got a tan. Oh, she can just dye her hair. It's a lot easier to get around. And people just ignore things like that.
Yeah, no, personally, I could give a shit. I want a good movie, to be honest with you.
Exactly. That's what I don't get. If the character is still the same, as in character wise, what does it matter about his skin color?
The actor who, I can't remember the actor's name, but he's in Chronicle, and in Chronicle kind of playing like this high school jock, and he's pretty much playing Johnny Storm in Chronicle now that I think about it. Man. So I think he's a good choice for the role.
Yeah, he doesn't last long in Chronicle, that's why he's forgettable.
I've got Chronicle. I meant to watch it when it came out, but it's
a good movie, Chronicle.
Got around to it, but it's another thing. Josh Trank or whatever his name, he's worked with the guy already, so
that's
the big deal. He has faith in the if he picks him, it's because he knows the actor well enough to have faith in him, and all power to him.
Right.
I'm also quite looking forward to the main kid in Chronicle. the one who turns into an evil shit, he's playing Harry Osborn in the next Spider-Man movie.
Yes, I heard that.
Should be pretty cool as well. Yeah.
Yeah, man, Chronicle is a good movie. It's a good place to mine stuff from. Okay, what else made you angry, Kyle? I think you had you were pissed off at Spider-Man for some reason. I don't know. My Precious was drawing, so.
Oh, okay. Now we can actually talk about comics this week now. Because this is relevant as well.
Kyle's Rage Corner, over.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'll be the first. You know that we've made it once again. Hate mail, and it'll be always directed to me. So,
okay, there's the upside. Kyle's email in the show notes so people can email him. Yeah,
please send all your rage mail to Kyle at.
But anyway, Superior Spider-Man number 9.
Good book.
Since you might as well talk about comics. I enjoyed it a lot.
Me too.
I think it's the main thing is that it addressed that whole Ghost Peter thing, and he instead of just going, oh, he's gone, you've actually, you know, it seems more like there was a purpose at this point to Slot bringing him in so soon. Obviously, it's Slot's type of writing, so he gets kind of vague at times, annoyingly vague about certain things that happen. Like at the end of the book itself, it just says that he's free. Obviously, it's safe to assume that it's still Otto in portraying him, but it's the same as when he killed Massacre, and it was kind of unsure whether he actually killed him or not. So that's just what I noticed that Slot does a lot as well. But for the most part, it's a good book, but people getting butthurt. Oh, you've ruined Spider-Man. Nine issues.
Whatever, man.
It's been 9 issues. Why are you still reading it?
Yeah, they shouldn't. If it upsets them that much, then just don't read it.
It's not like it's the first or second issue. It's the 9th issue. But at this point, most people had decided they were not reading it after 700. Then they decided not to read the number 1. Mm-hmm. And if you're still reading it now and being butthurt about it, oh, they're not changing anything. Excuse me. They've changed everything I love about my childhood and everything. It's just not ridiculous. And I saw a tweet by Dan Slott, which I can't remember at the moment, where he basically just called out people that are crying about it ruining the childhood by basically saying everyone that hasn't. I'll find the tweet in a minute.
What is everybody complaining about? I lived through the clone saga, man. Spider-Man came back. Relax.
Yeah.
You gotta pay attention for a little while longer. There's apparently 2099 Spider-Man is actually going to appear. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
You look at the solicits and that costume looks like the costume that Ben Reilly wore-ish. I don't know, but it looks like it's black.
I haven't paid that much attention to the solicits. I just heard that 29th. Is it Kevin Miguel or something?
Miguel O'Hare, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ryan confirmed it for me. I was like, really? Okay. Because I thought it was a red herring. They had talked about it before the Doc Ock reveal about Miguel, and I really, really thought it was a red herring. But apparently, it's I don't know. They've worked it in somehow. So I gotta stick around.
You're saying that he's been leaving hints or whatever since 2010 about him coming or something like that.
Yeah,
but again, that's Stan Slott way being ridiculously vague and somehow just puts things in so far in advance like that, so he can easily just decide, do I want to use that or not at that time and whatever. So. I don't know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Isn't it like in September or something like that?
Yeah, the couple months from now. So what happens in the next few... Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. That's why I'm sticking around. I couldn't call what happened at 700. I didn't see this exactly coming. I kind of thought it might happen at the way he was going, but... I got to stick around now. Especially if old Miguel shows up, because I got me a couple of them chrome-covered Spidey 2099s and... They got this magical thing called eBay.
Okay, here it is just quickly. Dan Slott's tweeted, everyone whose childhood and child-raising skills survived my 20-page comic yesterday. Both I and Charles Darwin congratulate you. Carry on. And I just love that.
That's pretty funny. I like that. Okay. Anything else to add? I liked it.
It just feels like I've talked for like the past 15 minutes.
You did. It's okay. Take some pressure off the rest of us. Okay, so that was... All right, let's go. I got something that's a little bit related to... Yes, it was the comic we bought at the comic store, because yesterday was Free Comic Book Day. I took the kid to the comic book store, and I bought last week's Iron Man, the Secret Origin.
Oh, yeah, I was actually going to talk about
that. Oh, okay, well, go ahead, man. It's the first one I've read since the first issue, so...
Yeah.
You too, or what?
Well, I read the first issue when Marvel gave it away for free on that 700 offer, and the reason I haven't been reading Kieran Gillen's Iron Man is because Greg Land has been the artist on it, and I don't like Greg Land's art.
Oh, but Eaglesham I figured, now.
Yeah, that's why I picked it up, because I quite like Eaglesham's art, and it was weird at first, because I wasn't sure what was going on for a little bit. I knew Tony going into space with reading Guardians, but with not reading the previous two arcs, it's like it took me a while to catch up. And then there was this that character, not the big dude, the other one. Can't remember what his name was.
Deathhead.
No, not Deathhead. The other was that God was that Deathhead.
What? What are we talking about? No, I'm confused. Iron Man, right?
Yeah, the silvery
I got it right here. The silvery.
The guy who shows him the film of his father at the end.
Oh, I don't know who the 451 or what's his. Yeah, he's got a.
Yeah.
He looks like Machine Man. I don't get that either.
Yeah, or it does actually. Yeah.
Or a recorder. He kind of looks like half and half. Do you guys know what a recorder is?
No.
A recorder is an old android from the old space days. He used to hang out with Hercules when Hercules used to be in space. They kind of all look the same. What is his name? 451. Yeah. 451.
Yeah.
What kind of a fucked up name is that? Where's the other 450?
I was a little unsure about it, though, until we got to, like, the end bit with the movie reel with Tony's dad, which was, like, reminded me a lot of Iron Man 2, actually, with how they did it in,
in that. I got the same vibe.
Yeah. I'm kind of I'm going to read the next issue because I'm kind of interested in like where the arc's going to go.
Yeah, there's something that we don't know about for sure going to be revealed here for the first time. I enjoyed the shit out of this because I didn't ever think I'd see Dale Eaglesham draw space stuff, and it was pretty cool. This new armor, though, I don't really care for the helmet. I don't know what it is about the helmet. I dislike it. But yeah,
it's weird, isn't it? The helmet.
Yeah, it wasn't too hard to jump into for like being an issue 9, right? Like, by the time you get into it, by the time you finish reading it, you're intrigued by what's just happened and you want to know more. So, I'd say it's got the hook you need to start.
Yeah, if I'd have thought ahead, I would have used the Marvel AR app on the title page and got the little recap video. But I never thought to do that. That might have helped a little bit.
That's another thing I was thinking about when Kyle was talking about Spider-Man on that last panel. There's an AR.
Yeah, I haven't.
I don't do them either.
I don't forget to do the ARs.
Not usually. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm lazy. I have a hard time getting them to work, too.
Yeah, that too. It's ridiculous.
I did.
I haven't used that. I tried using my first and I was like, okay, that's nice. I'm not going to use this again.
I tried it on one AR thing, and it came up, and the video said Marvel AR coming soon, and I'm like, what the fuck is the point in that? AR, really? If it's not even ready by the time the comic comes out. I think it was, it might have been an X-Men one, actually, a Bendis X-Men, or something, and I was just, it's just so weird.
They put them on YouTube now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that, yeah.
Bleeding Cool used to link to them a lot. This week's ARs. Like, what? Who cares, man? Because some of them were kind of just ridiculous, I think. Like, I think
Some of them try and explain the science behind things, which I think
sometimes
is a bit silly, because
it's
comics. It's like, you know, I don't want to know if Wolverine could if someone could actually have adamantium-laced bones, if it's actually possible, because it's comics, you know. Don't spoil my fun.
Well, I think it's good because of the science origins. You know what I mean? They want to keep that there, whereas what has DC got for... they got magic. Anyways.
And that is our weekly jab at DC.
Oh, it's not over yet. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. Apparently, it's cool to hate on DC now, even though I'm not doing it to be cool. It's just because they're doing shitty comics. But what? Sorry.
Well, I can't say they're all shitty, man. I bought some Dial H
comics. No, they're not.
They were pretty good. I bought 2 to 9. 2 to 10. so I like have the current run ongoing now. It's crazy. It's kind of cool, but bizarre. Who names their kid China? That's what I want to know. The writer's name is China Meville. Myville. I can't even say the guy's name, man. Let's see what else we got here. Art by Alberto Ponticelli and Dan Green. I don't know what he does. But I got to point this out. They kind of figured out some shit about these dials now. Like back in the day, you go to a phone booth, you dial H for hero. That's what the name of the title was, right? And you become some random character. Well, apparently the twist with this new book is these characters are actually, like all these superpowered characters had lives before and they had memories. So when you dial them up and become this character, their thoughts and memories start to overtake you as you're possessed by it, I guess you could say. So they're having, these guys who are playing with the dials are having a really hard time controlling what they're doing and stuff. And yes, in the second arc here, they found another dial, but it's not dial H for hero, it's dial S-I-D-E for sidekick. So I got these two, I guess one fat guy and one old lady, who are trying to figure out how to utilize these dials more. Because some dude comes from the future, there was a ghost on the line, there is what they would call it. And the ghost on the line would come and it was like a death, I guess is what they would describe it. But he shows up and he shuts off one of the dials on them. And the way he uses it, like he could just dial up the hero he needed for the situation he wanted, shit like that. So that's what these two guys are trying to figure out, right? How to do this before the shadow on the line catches up to them. And meanwhile, get this, they're being chased by an agent of the Canadian government. And it's killing me. Like, the bad guy in this book is the Canadian government. And the main dude they have is called the Centipede. He travels through time. But as they draw him, they kind of draw him like, you know how when the Flash moves fast, they draw multiple pictures of the same character? But this guy's called the Centipede. So if he gets shot, he can go back to any one of these, I guess, parts of the timeline and take over or make all the parts of the different timeline work together. Basically, he's fucking impossible to kill. And it's kind of a cool concept. That's all I got for Dial H. I'm actually pimping a DC comic. It was good, man. I don't know what else to say. Not too much tie-in with the normal universe. I mean, I think the last issue I read, he stole the Flash's powers, which kind of had me intrigued. So other than that, that's where we're at. I've spoiled the entire run. And you guys sound so enthused. Doesn't sound exciting to you? I really enjoyed it. I was like, wow, amazing. For a 20-page comic?
Kind of like,
and I also wanted to point out that they show smoking in this comic, which is driving me nuts because I'm trying to quit smoking. So, like, every second issue, I'm like, that motherfucker's smoking. So, I really want to smoke.
I think they're doing that in Constantine as well.
Yeah, but yeah, and I haven't seen anybody smoke in a Marvel comic in a very long time.
No, it's because when Joe Quesada took over as editor-in-chief, he put a, like, straight ban on it from all comics. Yeah. So.
Smoking's bad.
It is bad. It tastes like shit. And then you sound like me. Okay, so yeah, my rant is over on that one. Anybody else got a... I guess we're back to Kyle. Or does Matt? Okay. Go ahead, Anthony.
No, Kyle can go first. As long as he's... Oh, okay.
Well, as long as I don't talk about what?
I was going to say, as long as you don't talk about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because that was the one I was going to talk about.
Nice, I didn't even pick that one.
I want to quickly talk about it. No, you can have Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm just waiting on for you to bring up Young Avengers as well, and probably Hawkeye, but I want to quickly talk about because I've already got that list down. That's why I went, you know what, move these books, I'm not going to bother, let him deal with them. But
I
talk about the same titles every show, I've noticed that. I'm trying not to, but I can't help it.
Especially when I see that you start almost foaming over Young Avengers, so just let him do it. Let's let him be happy.
Okay.
I'm just talking again, like I said, about FF, which, if it was under the members of Fantastic Four, I really wouldn't even be reading this series, which is why I don't read the main Fantastic Four one.
Oh, really? I'm bad.
I think this one.
I don't read FF. I read Fantastic Four.
I think it mainly the reason I don't like Bagley's art for the most part.
Oh, sacrilege!
I'm slowly getting through Ultimate Spider-Man, and it's alright, but...
You know, just a quick note on Ultimate Spider-Man. When you get to David LaFuente's art, you're really going to miss Mark Bagley. So, just remember that.
Oh, zing.
Because I'm nearly at David LaFuente's bit, and I'm like, kind of like, because I don't like his art, so, you know. But anyway, sorry, carry on, Kyle.
Yeah, I think it's in case you're not reading it, obviously, you got the She-Hulk, Scott Lang's Ant-Man. What's the other one? What's the one that was doing Johnny Storm? I've forgotten the name. Miss Deering or whatever the hell it is. Miss Thing. I'm just going to call him Miss Thing now. I can't remember.
Yeah, Miss Thing.
And basically, the Yancey Street gang who spent years attacking the Thing are now taking out on her, hacking her phone, attacking her at her shows and everything like that. And Scott's still screwed up about his daughter dying. And again, sidetrack back into Young Avengers, slowly making my way through that. Back to FF.
Okay.
Oh, I think I'm just in a happier mood now that I've vented at the beginning of the show.
There you go.
It's good to share for you.
Fuck.
I think if you're not reading FF, it is one of the most probably underrated. I think everyone's a lot more focused on things like the main Avengers and new Avengers. But if you want a lot more lighthearted and just, like I said, a lot more fun of a series, you should be reading it. Mm. Especially when you're sick of all these depressing ones like Batman or shit like that. But yeah.
Lighthearted Marvel comics, yeah. I know what you're saying there. Nothing's really that lighthearted right now, is it? I guess Nova. Nova seems lighthearted to me.
Mm. Yeah. When he's not being a douchebag.
Yeah, he's a little punk. Okay. Anthony, you were going to talk about Young Avengers or what?
I want to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy first, because I've got it ready on my screen.
Sure.
The Galaxy number 2. Here we go. They said Sarah Pichelli was going to be taking over on art from issue 5, but she's actually started now, and there's kind of two things going on in this comic. There's like an alien attack on London, which is where the Guardians are, and then there's also like this intergalactic council going on, which is the scenes that Sarah Pichelli's drawing, which include like the Kree, the Shi'ar, the Badoon, Freyja from the Asgardians and the Brood, and it's, I think it's Peter Quill's dad, like, and they're discussing Earth and stuff, and then it's cut between like these really awesome battle sequences with the Guardians, and it's a really good comic. How you've got like this this mix of action and then talking heads, like when he gets it right and he doesn't overdo the talking head bits, it really works, and it also just looks really good with McNiven and Pichelli. I'm kind of gonna miss McNiven a bit because he draws a really good science fiction comic. Yeah, but
for sure. You gotta look,
Guardians is so good.
Yeah, Rocket really stood out in this one. I think Bendis gave everybody a reason to love him. Blam, I murdered you.
Mm.
I didn't even notice that with the arts, man. That's cool that you point that out. Does Iron Man seem like he's way the fuck out of his depth in this book? Like, totally. He's in space and he just seems, I don't know, out of place to me.
Well, it's probably going to be like the one that the gateway character, the one that's at least comfortable with it, that they'll use for like new users, things like that. Because everyone else is part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the point, really, because Tony's never like really done much space stuff before, and which is why they just flung him out there and say, let's have him join the Guardians.
And, yeah, it's pretty fast.
Put him out of his depth. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, you're right. It's a good book. I don't have many complaints about it.
Every time I see Drax, I just think Kratos from God of War.
Really?
Yeah.
My first experience with Drax was during Infinity Gauntlet. And he was fighting with the Hulk. He was like Hulk size. And now he's like not Hulk size. I don't even know how that came about, man. It just kind of... When DNA started writing Cosmic, it just... I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. Fuck. I don't even know what I'm talking
about. I'm not looking forward to Drax in this Guardians of the Galaxy film, by the way. I just sort of throw that out there.
Oh, I know.
You think it's going to be Batista?
Batista. If it's Batista, oh my God.
That's still a rumor, though, as far as I understand.
Oh, he can't. I
thought he signed on.
I heard it was a rumor.
Well, what, there was a rumor about Zoe Saldana, but she's confirmed it now.
Oh, she'd be awesome. Like,
Well, she's Gamora. She said it on Jonathan Ross last night. So that she's it's makeup and everything instead of
wait, Jonathan Ross
CGI.
Is show? You guys get all the good stuff over there. What the fuck?
Yeah, Jonathan Ross was more that was that's what made Jonathan Ross famous was his talk shows, and then he tried to go into comics, and he realized the money wasn't very good, so he went back to doing talk shows. Hmm.
See, and what do we got over here? Comic Book Man on AMC. Boo.
Yeah, I don't watch that.
Me neither, because you know what? That show has just, I don't know. There's one guy on there, I don't like his opinions. And that's all it takes, man. One guy's opinions are way out in left field.
Is that the Kevin Smith one, or is that Comic Book Man? Yeah, is that the Kevin Smith one you're on about?
Yeah, I'm talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of gone off like Kevin Smith a lot lately, but we'll go into that some other time.
But I know about Jonathan Ross because of you, because you pointed me towards when he went looking for Steve Ditko or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good documentary.
Yeah, man, that was awesome, very awesome. I'm like, who is this guy? He's friends with Neil Gaiman. Wow. Anyway, so yeah, very cool. Oh, you guys are lucky like that. Whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I got one. It's another Marvel comic, shock and surprise. Hulk. You know how... he says Hulk, but you're close. You're close, but not quite. Now, listen. I know you have read S.H.I.E.L.D. by Hickman, right?
Yes,
Waiting for that to be finished. I think Jeff Parker's trying to hold us over until then, because what Red Hulk is doing is... she's chasing Nikola Tesla, man, the guy from S.H.I.E.L.D. From place to place, like he's got these shops set up, like he's got one set up in Mount Rushmore. The last issue, it was like some pyramid in Egypt or whatever, and they actually talked to him. Yeah, because this is the Machine Man team up book, I like to call it, because when it was just Red Hulk, Machine Man was hanging out, and now it's Red She-Hulk, and guess who's still there, Machine Man. So yeah, there's that kind of tantalizing bit. It's drawn by Carlos Pagulan. I can't say anybody's name. That's Filipino, I believe. Very good art. Jeff Parker never fails. What else can I say about this?
So, because Bendis introduced one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters during the AVX tie-ins, but it didn't seem to go anywhere because he had him. I think it was it Michelangelo? And he went to Kung Lung.
Oh, yeah.
To do with the Phoenix Prophecy, but I can't really remember him taking anywhere with it. So if they're popping up in like other Marvel titles, that's quite cool. I might have to check that out now.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, this one ties a lot into Red She-Hulk stuff, I guess. I'll explain it. You kind of have to know a little bit about Betty and her family, her situation. I don't think you could, you know, jump this dry if you know nothing about Hulk at all. What the fuck are the credits in this book? See, this book is so confusing. No, oh, wait, there was three pencilers on this book. Pagulan, Anthony, Height, Wellington Ells. Anyways, I just wanted to point that out, that there was a S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of tie-in on this one. And, some kind of prophecy's going down. She's trying to stop it. Intense. It's like a buddy biker movie with Hulks and robots. That's all I got, man. No, wait. I did read some other books. I didn't read Jupiter's Legacy still. I don't want to get mad about it. Stupid dumbass.
It didn't make me mad. It opens pretty cool with them, like a golden age going to this mysterious island and getting your powers. Without there being like too much detail about it, and then it cuts to the present day, and then you meet the main characters, which is like the grandchildren or the children of these golden age superheroes, and it just kind of just gets boring because it's a lot of it's in nightclubs just talking, and it doesn't really give like Frank Quitely a chance to like really go to the amazingness that is Frank Quitely, but it didn't make me like angry or anything like some other Mark Miller comics have done. I missed it.
Mark Millar pissed me off on this book, man. That's all there is to it. I don't think it was smart for him to... No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go on my tirade about shitty comic book stores and yada, yada, yada. The guy should have put it out.
The digital thing.
He should have, man. Because honestly, now he's losing sales, like guaranteed, because there's some people on Twitter had been following my little rant about that, and then later that night they're like, by the way, you can still get it on the internet, you know? And I'm like, yeah, you fucking thief, I know you can. Anyways, that's your prerogative. You want to do shit like that, go ahead. But I'm just saying, I got into a lot more comic books, man, when there was digital day and date stuff coming out, like the same day.
Well, I'm seriously tempted to go just digital on like a lot of my titles, because I've been using my my codes and my comic books and digitizing them, and when I just see them all on my Comixology account, it's like, yeah, why don't I just read them on this every week? So I'm really tempted to just go for it,
you need the book. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I just miss having them, because I like getting them signed as well at conventions, especially when I like really like the issue and it's by a creator I like. But I don't know.
I try to do that with select titles myself, like like Prophet, which I haven't seemed to seen an issue in 2 months. But there's a preview for issue 339 and the latest preview, so I guess it's not over. Nobody seemed to answer my question, but
yeah, I was like, I dropped that a while back.
It's still pretty good. I mean, it's a.
I just started finding it hard to follow. That's why I dropped it.
I've reread it a few times. You don't, Meathead. Yeah. I'm trying to fight about something here. Get away. No, wait. Not fighting. Where was I? The kid threw me off, man.
Just Prophet.
Oh, yeah. No, Prophet was... Prophet. See, again, another digital comic, day and date. I would have never even fucking tried it if it hadn't have been there. And my thing is, I was so kind of mad about this. I was going on about... Because his main reason, Millar's main reason for not doing a digital copy was because it hurts comic shops. We should be supporting comic shops, yada, yada. Well, in my opinion, if you're, you know, it's down to your comic shop, man. My old comic shop used to point me towards digital comics to try to get, you know, like The Sixth Gun, for example. My comic shop tweets me. That they live 5 hours away from me. They tweet me that I should try out issue number one because it's free on Comixology. I did. So then I bought issue two on Comixology, and I just, whatever, tweet them back. I'm like, put this on my file and get me the first trade. And that's how simple that was, right? And that's the kind of things he's missing out on, I think. A shitty comic shop will just let the comics do their work for them. In my opinion, like, they don't, you know, they come in and you could be like, this. Yeah, it's typical shitty comic book guy from The Simpsons, you know? Oh, you buy Superman, but you should buy Batman because he's better. You know, fuck off. Nobody wants to hear that, man. Yeah. The guys at my old comic store, he told me, they're probably the best comic store I've ever been to. But he always told me, man, there is not a shitty comic book in your store. One of those books, there's somebody out there for each one of these books in the store. All you got to do is ask the right questions to find out who's going to be buying them, right? And of course, you know, he would come across dickheads who are like the typical comic book guy who doesn't give a fuck and just, he's like, no, we read Ghostbusters because it's cool and that's it. Nothing to it, right? No, not really. And I find that a lot with some comic shops.
Well, I'm just, I suppose, kind of lucky that I've got two shops that are right near each other, pretty much just off around the corner from each other.
Yeah.
So if the one that I used to go to was kind of like the cliche one, and it's just like you don't really even want to be in there for that long. You just want to go in and get your books, leave. But the other one that I actually go to, it's a lot more friendly. And if I actually ask about certain series, they'll tell me whether to not bother or whatever. And it's not like, oh, you shouldn't read. It's not like feeling like they're being elitist about it, but they don't want you to just go and waste your money. Because I was going to buy something, and he was like, it benefits them if I buy it anyway, but, you know, not wasting my money.
Well, I mean, you work at a comic store to sell comics, man. You can't let the product do it by itself. You got to do some pitching yourself. That's all there is to it, man. It's plain and simple. Like, I've been into comic shops and people are like, hi, and it's like, hey, do you guys have any of this? They're like, I don't know, maybe. It's everything's in alphabetical order. You know, they don't even move. They don't get up. They don't look at you. It's like, hey, man, I'm in here every week. You want to, you know, that's why I don't mind my newer comic store that I got here in the comic or in my town, because things have expanded in the market. Everybody knows this. My store went from fucking zero comic stores to three. So, bam, we got the one. Like, I come in, everybody in there that works there knows me. You know, they're like, did you get your profile? Blah, blah, blah. Yesterday we went in there for free comic book day. They're like, they even know my kid, man. They were like, hey, man. I was like, hey, no, that's cool.
Aww.
That's how you keep a guy around, man.
Yeah, it's customer service. It's like that at all.
Exactly.
It's not just comic shops. This is, they think, because They think it's like a, I don't know what the, it's like a, I suppose because of the medium it is, like they think people are just going to come in there and they know what they want, so they might think that they don't really have to like do as much work as if they were like working at say a bigger chain retail store. So like you were saying, they think they're just, the comics are just going to sell themselves, and they're not really. You still got to like give good customer service. True. To like especially your regular customers to keep them coming back.
Yeah, man, exactly. Like the comics do kind of sell themselves to a bit. I mean,
yeah.
The movies, people go see, you know, Avengers, now they want to buy Hulk and Captain America, they go to the store, they're going to find it easily, but maybe they need some help finding a good jumping on point or something like that, you know.
Yeah, the really good stuff so they don't pick up some like, you know, that puts them off reading anymore.
So moral of the story is, if you work at a comic store, shave your ass, wash your breath, and be nice to the customers.
Wash your breath.
You know? That's all there is to it.
I'm going to use that wash your breath. I'm going to start using that now.
Shave your ass and wash your breath? Especially if your butt hurt.
There you go. There you go, full circle. I'm doing an internet high five.
Nice. Okay. That rant was horrible. You like that, Maya? Was it a nice talk? High five. Good job. Okay. Anybody else got a comic?
Yeah, since I kind of mentioned it earlier, I'll talk about Young Avengers again. I think it's like the third time. I think this is the third time I've talked about it. I've done three shows, so, you know.
That's okay. I don't read it, so I need to know.
But it's four issues in, and you're really beginning to see where McKelvey and Dylan are taking this, because quite a bit happens in this issue. There's loads of action. You get more of the plot of what the mother, the villain, is up to, and you've got Loki revealing his hand a bit more, being the trickster, because after all, he is Loki. He wanted to get the team together, but you just know he's got a bigger ulterior motive to it. And he's... Eric, you know, like, the Young Avengers, how, like, Wiccan and Hulkling, they're kind of dating, and right. Don't you? Because they're a gay couple. Well, Loki starts putting the idea into Hulkling's head that, because Wiccan can alter reality and stuff, if he's affecting Wiccan's, Hulkling's feelings towards Wiccan and making Hulkling be more interested in him than he'd usually be.
Uh-huh.
Like, basically, Loki's hinting that Wiccan's,
it's like his chaos magic, right? Like his
using his manipulating Wiccan.
Yeah.
So he stays with him as his boyfriend. So he's just like, you know, Loki, like just stirring the pot and, you know, stirring the show.
Well, you know, in my opinion, Hulkling's transgender anyways, because isn't he like a Skrull?
True. He's like half Skrull.
He could be whatever he wanted to. So I don't know.
Doesn't it also come basically say that Hulkling is a figment of his imagination, but Wiccan basically created him because there's a lot of things that are too convenient about their relationship.
That's also mentioned as well. So it's Loki like hinting towards like he's bigger plan. So and then.
It's
an amazing looking book. Like there's just two page fight scene with you might have seen online somewhere with Nova moving through this club, and just how it's set out. Like it's kind of hard for me to describe, but just how it's set out by McKelvey and Gillen, it's amazing.
Did you mean Marvel Boy or Nova? I heard Nova.
No, Nova.
Okay, I thought so. Making sure.
Yeah. Sorry. He doesn't want to be called Marvel Boy anymore.
I don't blame him. Sounds foolish.
I also don't blame him for getting rid of that costume.
Did he ever look stupid in that, eh?
I think the best, as much as I love that two-page spread, it's the one where he's just standing there and she says, come with me if you want to be awesome.
loved it.
I want a shirt like that.
He's just standing there with his guns, and they're still smoking as well, so he just looks like a badass. Awesome. And Hawkeye's back.
Awesome.
Hawk girl or whatever. So whatever.
What does she? Is she? She's not using Hawkeye, is he? Is she?
No, yeah, she's using Hawkeye.
So is that why they call Hawkeye Hawk Guy? No, does that make sense?
That's kind of like an in joke. I think it's Gil. one of the characters in Hawkeye refers to him as like Hawkeye one time, and then it kind of just become like this big thing on Tumblr online.
because he only referred to him as even no matter how many times he corrects him, he just says hot guy because apparently he thinks he's saying it right anyway.
Yeah,
I get that, man. Because Hawk Girl from the Justice League cartoon, whenever I used to talk about that shit with my friends trying to get them to watch it, they were like, Hot Girl? Who is Hot Girl? I'm like, no, Hawk, not hot, you fucking meathead. Anyways.
Just quickly, just speaking of Kate Bishop Hawkeye, she's going to be making an appearance in Ultimate Spider-Man, the comic series.
So what, like, ooh, her ultimate?
Ultimate Kate Bishop.
Ultimate. She'd already made an appearance, apparently. And I remember
which one
she's
going to be Miles' girlfriend?
Yeah.
Ooh. Is that what it is?
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah, you show up. She's been in there already. But with a non-speaking role, I think. I was reading that interview Bendis had, and he says that she's already been there, and of all the people that have been inspired in the series so far, the only ones that it's ever really focused on are Miles' family, Genki, the villain or whatever, and this one girl. So if she's already appeared, it's Kate. I assume she won't have anything, any powers or anything. I don't know if she's even going to be Hawkeye eventually or whatever, like anything like that. But
so wait, she's there. It's her counterpart in the Ultimate Universe, or it's actually her bouncing between universes.
No, it's Ultimate counterpart.
Okay, cool.
See, the interesting thing with that is as well, Young Avengers, I think issue 7 or 8, they're doing like the stories like crossing over different multiverses and universes, so that's going to be interesting to see if that ties in. I doubt it will, like, but
still look.
And there's a new member joining the Young Avengers, which might now be Miles Morales. Well, you know, let's see.
Whoa, that would be kind of neat.
Yeah,
616 Miles.
Okay, whatever. Fuck.
Yeah, but if that was
not Ultimate Miles,
wow.
Because Ultimate Miles' life is misery. Just non-stop.
Well, he's a Spider-Man.
That could give him the potential to be... Yeah, but come on, I feel sorry for the kid.
I saw your post on that event on that Facebook page, and I'm like, dude, it's a Spider-Man comic.
Yeah, but it's not Peter. It's not Peter just anymore. Let Superior. Miles be happy for a bit.
Just look at Superior, like Peter, like the 616 Spider-Man. Peter's not even got his body. That's how like shit he's got it, you know.
No, but yeah, but he's dead. Peter is dead now. Right? He hasn't got anything else to worry about. He's dead. All his worries are over. Miles is alive. Miles is... people keep dying around him. And it's not someone's died off screen. He's seen people die. Uncle Ben did... It depends on which one, but he doesn't see him get shot right up in his face. Okay? Therefore, it's worse. I don't care. It's the most... I'm on an emotional roller coaster this episode.
I'd say you are. Wow, man. Did you take your Percocets this morning? Never mind. I just want to interject that this Facebook page that we keep referring to is the IGN Assemble Facebook podcast page, I guess.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Well, who cares, man? We've talked on there a few times. I think it's funny because there's a lot of new people to comics on there, and they post quite often. And
yeah.
When I can contribute politely, I do, but when I see something completely inane and retarded and it usually has to do with DC Comics, I go to Twitter. I'm like, I'm out of here.
Some people have been blocked on there for overposting, but...
Really?
I've blocked some people who post too much because I don't need to be seeing that.
I thought you meant the page blocked them. I'm like, can you do that?
Oh, God. I think someone has.
Interesting. Anyways, I wouldn't run over there right away, especially if you know a lot about comic books. Just stick with the Comic Anvil, kids.
Yeah, that's all you need in your life.
Listen, we'll make you cry, we'll make you laugh, we'll piss you off, don't worry. We got it all. What else we got? I got one more book. Well, actually, I have two more books. One's just a mention. I want to mention Zombie Outlaw, the boys.
Eric, you're really breaking up.
Oh, am I? Really?
You're not now. You're fine now. You was breaking up.
That was probably just because I was bending over to get my stuff. So these guys in the States, they run this book called Shut Up My... No, it's not called Shut Up My... It's called Zombie Outlaw. And this dude, he spent $10 sending me one issue, man, for postage. I was like, wow.
Yeah, no.
No? No? Yeah? Anyways, I just want to quickly mention that I was requested to review this drunk, and every time I've gotten drunk the last two times since I've bought the book, I keep passing out, so I'm sorry, it will come. But I will just mention that this is a creator-owned comic, and these guys did everything by themselves, man. It's two dudes, Brian Apodaca as the writer, and Benny Jordan as the artist. And, yeah, it's fun. It's kind of a comedy thing that I wasn't really expecting when I got the first issue last year. It comes out sporadically, obviously. So there's that. We'll get to a drunken review. Look forward to that in the future, maybe next Friday. Anyways, that was just a quick shout-out. I also bought this 10 grand from Image Comics with Straczynski and Templesmith. Did any guys read this at all?
The what? Well, sorry.
It's called 10 grand.
No, I avoided it because it was J. Michael Straczynski.
Oh, come on. It can't be all that bad, can it? He's not going to reckon anybody's childhood. It's not Spider-Man. These are all new characters. I enjoyed the shit out of this, man, to be honest with you. I love the idea. I'm like, well, what the fuck is it going to be about, right? 10 grand, and it's... I think the 10 grand is he's some kind of an assassin, right? And he charges 10 grand to take out hits or whatever. I guess apparently 10 grand is just the right amount to weed out all the losers and connivers who are just trying to use him. So anyways, this chick approaches him. She's got the 10 grand. She wants him to kill a dude. And she shows him a picture of the dude, and he's like, it's impossible. I killed this guy 2 years ago. Yada, yada, intrigue goes on. Then there's some supernatural shit. He kind of goes to this cafe with his laptop, and apparently he can do what is this magic through the internet somehow, man. And I don't know, it's just a cool concept. It's Ben Templesmith. I mean, if you like Ben Templesmith stuff, it's drawn nicely. Oh yeah, the deal is this guy, every time he dies, I guess he works for the angels basically. So when he dies, he can go and spend 5 minutes with his wife, but then they'll resurrect him because his wife's dead. So every time he dies, he gets to spend 5 minutes with his wife because she's in heaven and he's in hell. But before he goes to hell, he gets brought back. So that's why he keeps doing this assassination shit. It's the first issue.
Oh.
I'm not very good at explaining stuff, obviously. It's very early here. Did you know that? anyways, I enjoyed it. For John Michael Straczynski, not bad. Mind you, I was a fan of his Spider-Man, too, especially when Gwen Stacy humped the Green Goblin. That was great.
Are you just trying to make me angry
maybe,
now?
Maybe just there a little is. Bit.
You are, aren't no. you? Because you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, you got me. Busted.
Okay, now I was wondering where I recognize that name from. Because I've got my sister has borrowed Superman Earth 1.
Oh, God.
From the library for me.
Right.
And... yeah, somebody who didn't like Superman already read that.
Read the comic that makes him even more of an asshole.
Yep.
Not a fan of anything he did at DC at all. Anything.
I read his Forrest Gump Superman, and I stuck with it with the entire arc. No, only because when That's Chris great. Robinson took over... When Chris Robinson took over and started writing it, it actually got a little bit better. Like, you know,
a little bit.
It was a little better.
And then they rebooted everything.
Yeah.
That's
why, apparently, that's why they let him do it, though, because the editors said, well, we're going to reboot everything in like a year, in a couple of months anyway, so just do whatever you want. So that's why they let him do.
So he went home, cracked his knuckles, and like, how many more people can I piss off? Right?
Mm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't enjoy the Grounded series, or Forrest Gump, Superman. That was great. Oh my.
That's what it is, though, yeah. Isn't it? Forrest Gump.
You got me. Life is like a box of chocolates for 6 months, and then we rebooted. You're right. Anybody got anything else to add? We've, like, filled an hour. Must have been a good episode, because that was the quickest hour ever.
Is there anything else?
All new X-Men 11 was awesome, and Stuart Immonen's art is amazing with all the characters he has to draw in this, and it still looks great.
Yeah.
There's
a big crossover coming up, eh?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to read that or not. With Infinity coming as well, I don't really want to be reading both of them because it's going to like cost me too much.
Did you read the free comic book day Infinity?
Ooh. I did, and it's certainly like hinting towards things happening and happening, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I was hoping for a bit more Thanos in it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Well, I kind of did, but I'm not sure if this has anything to do with all the new weapons that are showing up in the Avengers or not. It must, right? It must.
Those little creatures in what they offered to Thanos, were they the Badoon or the Brood? Because they
the Chitauri.
They looked a lot like. No, no.
Yeah, no.
The Chitauri.
I don't think so. I don't have no idea, to be honest with you. It looked cool. Was that Jim Chung?
Right? It did. Yeah, it was Jim Chung.
Yeah. What else did I read in Free Comic Book Day that was kind of cool? That's not my pile. This is my pile. I got
one. The Star Wars. Quite good.
I never got that far. I'm lucky I got to get like one of everything that came out.
I got most of them.
Yeah, some comic shops don't do that. I even got like the Bleeding Cool Man Free Comic Book Day. 2000 AD Free Comic Book Day. What else was in here? Walking Dead.
I was just incredibly lazy and couldn't be bothered to leave my house.
Oh, man, you suck.
So, I Free Comic Book Day isn't really for me or whatever. It's like someone else who doesn't normally read them, get them, and boom. They can have fun with spending a shit ton of money.
Yeah, I ended up doing that too. But I took my 4-year-old and it was fun. We jumped all over the Mouse Guard book. We did so hard we got 3 copies. I don't know how the hell we did that. Anyways, what else was really cool? I guess that was it, eh? No, I was going to say something. Oh, Avatar did a Free Comic Book Day, and I was like, what the fuck? Avatar Press is doing a Free Comic Book Day comic. That's got to be some... But all they did was reprint the first couple pages of Absolution. And I've talked about Absolution in the history of our show. It's a kind of superhero cop drama about a cop who goes serial killer, you know, almost Punisher. But he's got superpowers, which is actually a new series that's coming out in 2 months. I just want to pump that. So anybody is interested in Absolution, there's a good jumping on point coming in 2 months. Yeah, that's all I got. Anybody else? Did I lose you guys?
No, I'm still looking at Stuart Immonen's X-Men stuff. Hey, if like I'm honest.
I can't wait.
I'm just swiping through it on my iPod.
You know the way it ends. This is going to be like the second time now in just under in about a month or so that Captain America's going to get his ass beat by the X-Men.
Yeah.
Because he's just got, because he got handed to him by Tempest, you know, Uncanny X-Men, they trapped him in time, and then he was so butthurt about it, he wouldn't tell Maria Hill. And then, and now he's getting beat, now he's got the Uncanny Avengers, because he wants to not make it seem as abusive, I suppose. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because that's like the Mutant Avengers team. I don't really, like...
No, I dropped it too, man.
...Canny Avengers that closely. My brother buys it, and I read his copy, but I'm not really that invested in it yet.
Nor I. The first arc was all right, but now I just... I don't know. I'm not down with it anymore. So I skipped. Skipped out. I'm done.
Don't blame me.
Well, I can't afford all these comics, man. They're expensive.
Yeah, that's another thing.
All right, so... I guess that's it.
Yep, and see,
no.
I'm surprised you didn't talk about Hawkeye, by the way.
We did, didn't we?
I had things to say on it as well, but I talked about it a lot last episode, so I'm not.
Was it the Pizza Dog episode?
It was the Francesco Francavalia.
Oh.
Francavalia, however you pronounce his name, issue. So it had like a pretty different. Art style about it than the previous issues, and it was the you got me talking about it now. Fuck it off.
Hey, I'm also plugging
it was the backstory behind the Hitman the Clown, about like how he became the Hitman he is, and how him getting hired by the Tracksuit Vampires to take out Clint Barton, and he ends up having a little bit of a thing with Kate Bishop at this party that they're both at. Yet neither of them, a little flirting and stuff. Yet the clown, I'm not sure if the clown knew that she was like the female Hawkeye, but Kate Bishop didn't know like he was like a hitman, a hired hitman for all the mobs and stuff. But it was a good issue. It's like I kind of, I'm a bit conflicted on the art, because I do really like Francesco Francavilla's art style. I'm just not sure if I want it in the Hawkeye book, because I like just the style that Aja does more, and it's kind of the first time where it's been like, oh, but I want David Aja. But you know, you could do a lot worse than Francesco Francavilla.
I think I was like on the opposite side. I preferred the art a lot more to the actual the story itself. I think it might have been because it's like a 180 on what the series has been at this point, Grant, because it's been mostly like light-hearted humor for the most part. There was like issues 4 and 5 or whatever where it went a little more serious, but this is a lot more of a drastic change up. Mm-hmm. It's not saying that I thought it was bad or anything, but it's like I spent a while just thinking, what really? I don't really think I have much of an opinion on it. Just it was like in that middle ground where there's nothing I'd say that was really great about it, but I wouldn't say anything that was really bad about it. So
I can't say nothing about it. I didn't read it.
Still anti-Fraction?
No, not really. I read Fantastic Four. Oh. I mean, he's hit and miss with me. He always has been. Fear itself. Yeah.
I think because that was like my first event reading comics, I think I tried to trick myself until about last 6 months or whatever that, no, I really shouldn't have been wasting my money on this, because I wasn't enjoying it. I was just buying
Fear Itself.
It was new issue. Yeah. And it was, wasn't it like $4.99 an issue or something stupid like that? I don't know.
No, it was $3.99. I think the first and last issue were a bit more because they were at a longer page count.
Oh, yeah, because he couldn't be bothered to wrap it up properly. Yeah, okay.
I got nothing. I didn't like it. Really, Fear Itself was your first crossover that you got into, or what? How long have you been buying comics?
March 2011.
Really?
Yeah.
A couple years, eh? Wow. We just learned something new about Kyle.
Yeah.
You got. See, I think this is like a Kyle-centric episode, just not directly.
No.
It starts off me moaning, right? It starts off with me angry, the emotional roller coaster. Then you learn a bit more about me. Then we eventually, with this episode, get our first hate mail, and it will be aimed at me.
If we get any mail, nobody mails us, man.
I'm in a bit of a weird place for Age of Ultron now, because I kind of want to read it to see where it ends, but I'm also not really enjoying it that much.
Oh man, it got good. Like, I thought it got good.
Do you think it's got good? I think it's got worse.
No way, man. Now I'm just like, fuck no. It's kind of, you know what it reminds me of a little bit? Flashpoint. There were certain aspects of Flashpoint,
yeah.
like Wonder Woman and Aquaman and all that. That stuff was kind of cool, and to see modern day Wolverine and Sue Storm. How do I say this without spoiling it? They end up altering the timeline or whatever, but you get to see these new versions of everybody, and I'm pretty excited. I liked it a lot. I want to see more. Like, who that... I don't know. I don't want to spoil it, man. Big implications for Wolverine, too, from what I understand. I guess it's all the gossip is why I'm kind of excited for it. Because we know Angela's going to show up at the end. And apparently some other guest surprise that we don't know about. Did anybody see this thing that Bendis posted to his Tumblr about all the points of what would happen if Hank Pym was gone from Marvel Universe?
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
I didn't read it all.
It's super long, but a couple of those points kind of negated this alternate timeline that I've already seen. Because from what I've seen, man, it's a couple times there, Hank Pym had saved Iron Man, and then at the end of issue 8? Fucking, I'm going to spoil it. At the end of issue 7, Iron Man shows up. But according to this timeline, if Hank Pym had never lived, Iron Man would be one of the dead.
Is that what it says? He also says it in that one as well, where it kind of the timeline would fix itself by giving it to someone else to do it instead.
But there was nobody to replace Hank Pym, apparently.
Mm.
Right? Like even... I don't know. I implore anybody who's listening to this to go check that out, because as you read through it, if you know anything about the Marvel Universe, it's quite the little rundown. Good luck trying to keep it straight in your head. It is kind of confusing, but...
Yeah, wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey is about how I'd describe it.
Well, they're not... I guess... I guess there was a regime there before that, like, you couldn't do this kind of story or something before. I don't know. But now everything, like, all old X-Men, you know, that's time travel. Age of Ultron's time travel. There's also time travel going on in some other book.
The common denominator there is Bendis.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they'll let him do it, if anyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people keep thinking soft boot. I don't think so. I don't know.
Well, he's had comics in like the top 10 for like the past. I don't think it's going to reboot anything. If they were going to reboot stuff, it would have been after AVX, before Marvel Now. They're not going to do it when Marvel Now is as popular as it is.
Cool.
It might like retcon some things and make some big changes, like with Wolverine, but it's not going to like it's not going to be like a new 52 thing. I think people who are like getting upset about that on that group, we keep mentioning of like.
See, I just want to say as well that I don't hate the group because it's gonna sound like we hate them. I don't.
Yeah. I actually quite like the group because I need me, I need places to vent stuff, and it's one of the only thing I worry about though is that it still shows up in my friends' timelines. You're just not interested in comics, but you know they can always delete it if they want to.
Yeah, they can suck it up.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call it a wrap.
Yeah, we should probably wrap up.
This is our longest show ever. Outside, smells of shit. Ligagwing, ligagagagagagway, oh go. I come upon a silver striped mushroom and I fly. The baked potato. It's when I started to dance in France. I'm taking a walk in the woods. Fuck yeah, it's nice. Very, very nice. Smells of shit. Ligagwing, ligagagagagagway, oh go. I come upon a silver striped mushroom and I fly. Outside, smells of shit. Ligagwing, ligagagagagagway, oh go. I come upon a silver striped mushroom and I fly. Fly.